As I've said already, the sermon has already began. You've already heard about Jesus. And today's title is Why Christ? Why are we so excited about Jesus Christ? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, I just got to ask you straightforward. Why not? What do you have better than what we have? Is there anything better than Jesus Christ? If it is, I want you to tell me about it. And I make you a promise. If you have something better than Jesus Christ, and you come and tell me and you show me your life, and you don't lie to me, and you show me your completeness without it, I take this Bible, put it down, and will never pick it up again. But if you can't show me something in the life we have in Christ and the answers we have, then I'm going to challenge you to pick this Bible up and never put it down again. Because either way, I can't lose. See, I already got Jesus, so if I put the book down, I'm already still going. So I'm in a win-win situation on this one. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for moving us out of the way. And when I say us, Lord, the Katinas and myself. Thank you for your word. And I pray, Father, for conviction for those that need it and comfort for those that need it. And I praise you for our greatest opportunity in all the world. And that is to make the gospel clear. Father, I know that there's people here that is visiting today because they think they're here for one reason, but you have them here for another. Thank you for allowing them to know you personally, meet you personally. In your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, look at Mark chapter 4. I want you to understand verse 1 through 12 in Mark chapter 4 gives us the parable of the sower. In verse 10 and 11 of Mark chapter 4 says, listen, to those that are outside, if you're not a believer here today, God considers you an outsider. Now, can I be honest with you? If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and Jesus look at you as an outsider, I want to ask you, you remember growing up, some of you that may be in junior high, high school, and some of you that may be completely out of school, but you can remember, what did it feel like to be on the outside of the crowd? Do you remember the rejection that you felt? You remember when the groupies, the little groups used to get together and you would try to break in and they wouldn't let you. I want to ask you, do you remember what it means to feel rejected by the group? Let me tell you something. That is nothing compared to having Jesus Christ turn his back on you in the day of judgment. Now, I know you think this is a good looking back. But it's the worst thing you ever want to see on Judgment Day. When it's the back of Jesus Christ. And Psalms 2 says that he is going to laugh at your calamity. Right now we're taking a break from the book of Revelation today because we want to bring you to the love of Christ. Because again, next week we're going to bring you face to face with the judgment of Christ. And I promise you, you won't accept him first. You want to make him daddy before you make him judge. Then we go to verse 13 to verse 20. And it talks about, explains that parable of the sower that we got in the first 12 verses. And each one of those verses, it says, and the sower sows the word. The sower, who is the sower? And what is the seed? And this verse tells us. So is anyone that has the word of God and tell you that Jesus Christ is the only way. You see, a sower can be a preacher. A sower can be a teacher. A sower can be a student. A sower could be a man. A sower can be a woman. A sower could be an adult. The sower can be a child. The sower could be 8 to 80, wild, sick, crippled, or crazy. It doesn't matter who the sower is. It's what they are sowing. And they're sowing that which they say is the word. Verse 16 says, it is the word. Verse 17 says, it is the word. Verse 18 says, it is the word. Verse 19 says, it is the word. Verse 20 says, it is the word. I want to ask you, do you think by now, looking at those verses, you know what the seed is? The seed is the word of God telling you that Jesus Christ, who is the only way to God, is saying, listen, here I am. And we've already established in this church that there's no such thing as many ways to God. Religion is not like a bicycle spoke where God is in the center and has all kinds of ways to get to him. Jesus Christ messed that up when he says, I am the only way to God. Why Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you why Jesus Christ, because there is no other way to God other than Jesus Christ. And you may be saying, Pastor, you are kind of narrow-minded. Thank you very much. Best thing you can say to me is I'm narrow-minded. Truth is very narrow-minded. And Jesus Christ says, when I come into your life, when you allow me to come into your life, I'm not coming in just on Sunday. I'm coming in to take over. I want you to understand this. If you give your life to Christ today, you are not making a haphazard decision. You are surrendering, giving up your life. See, God wants our heart to be a home for his word. But most of the time, our hearts is a hotel for God's word. And checkout time is 12 noon on Sunday. I'm going to overkeep that stay this day. Checkout is going to be way after 12 today. Are you happy you came? Ah, yes, sir. Then he says, he breaks it down, beginning with 21. And he says that the word, he gives a parable of light. He says, Jesus Christ says, I'm the light. And you don't take a light and put it on the table. You don't take a light and put it on the bushel. A light is to be seen. And a light's purpose is to reveal what needs to be seen. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to see the Savior. And you need to see yourself the way you are. And I'm going to tell you exactly the way you are. There is no good in you. Now, Pastor, if you want me to accept Jesus Christ, now you can't be putting me down like that. Let me give you a secret. I'd rather put you down now than to put you under without Christ. Amen. I'd rather make you mad at me so we can spend eternity together, so you can get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised, I am the light of the world. And he says that. The next parable he gives is the growth, the parable of the kingdom of growth. And he says, it takes a while to mature. Some of you are saying, I got to get my life right before I give it to God. Liar! Yeah. Now, how in the world are you going to get yourself right when you can only live wrong without him? Now, I ain't talking about this right. Which be your left. And this left, which would be your right. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about that which is right before God. Tell me, how can you, being a finite being, do anything to impress an infinite being who has created all things to bow to him? Now, I'm going to give you a secret. If I know I got to bow to somebody, if I know there's not an option to bow to someone, if I know that there's going to be a day that I am going to bow, I'd rather bow to a father than to an executioner. Either way, you're going to lose your head. But I'd rather lose my head to Christ and give my heart to him, because sometimes my head don't make sense. But the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is right. And he will so lead you beyond your wildest dream, he will blow you away. Then it says, oh, there's a parable of the mustard seed. Something so small that starts off will completely grow into something big and marvelous. Yeah, I look at my life, just me personally, born an illegitimate child in Alabama, poor as Joe's turkey. You know how poor Joe's turkey was? He couldn't lean up against the fence and gobble at the same time. He was, I mean, just, we was poor as Joe's turkey. I mean, we was an outcast. We wasn't thought anything about. We was down there in a little place called Bear Mash, and here I am, an illegitimate child with bunches of aunts and uncles around me, and everyone think you'll never amount to anything. And Jesus, hear me now. Why Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you, because Jesus moved in to this old guy's heart, and Jesus took someone that was viciously mean underneath, hated white people to the max, and turned me around. And I want to tell you, you don't think Jesus can make a difference? Here I am hating white people with a max, come to know Jesus Christ, touches my heart, chained me around, molded me to be like him, and now I'm the pastor of a predominantly white church. What is wrong with Jesus Christ? Don't even talk to me about meeting Jesus Christ and you hadn't changed. And the reason why a lot of you hadn't changed, because you just gave Jesus lip service. You really haven't accepted him. You really haven't surrendered to him. I tried Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. I want to tell you right off the bat. You lied. You are a liar. If you said you tried Jesus and he didn't work, you tried the wrong Jesus. My Jesus works. Amen. Seriously, where you want me to? You want me to show you? Yes, let me show you how my Jesus works. I know if he can deal with the elements. I know he can deal with your problem. I don't think you got anything harder than what's about to happen. Starting in verse 35, Mark 4, it says, "And the same day." Evidently, there were some things going on after he got through talking about them parables, and there was a crowd around. He said, in the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Can't hear you. Amen. What was the first thing Jesus said in verse 35? He said, let's go over to the other side of the sea. Now, did Jesus say, let's go out in the middle and drown?
No, sir.
Can't hear you. Jesus says, let's go to the other side. You know what's wrong with most of us? Jesus says, I'm the only way. And he meant it. And what you start doing is you start trying to compromise. Well, you know, yeah, he could be a way. You know, you start compromising. Well, you know, I think if I'm good. You start compromising. You start trying to get around the one statement that Jesus made, and that is, I'm the only way. And he told the disciples, we're going to go to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the boat. I want to let you know something. This is not a little boat that you see on most people pictures. You tell me the size of a boat that can hold 13 guys and is big enough for Jesus to go lay in the back and go to sleep. And he's not outside, because if he's outside, the boat is filling up with water. It is raining and it's a storm. Somebody has lied to you. If you say it's a little boat. 13 people, bailing water. Jesus is in the back of the boat, probably underneath sleep. That's my Jesus. In the middle of the storm, where they're frantically trying to get the water out the boat. Jesus is back there. Is that the kind of Savior you want?
That's right.
Is that the kind of Savior you want? You want a Savior that's going to change his mind every 30, 40 days. You want a God to say, I love you today, but I don't love you tomorrow.
No, sir.
See, that's the kind of God you have. It's called success. That's the kind of God you got when you deal with a mate. When you think your wife or your husband is going to make you happy. You lied, didn't you? God, come on now. If you can't be honest in church, it's a bad place. I found my ideal man. I got my ideal woman. After 3 months, you realize you're in an ordeal. In 2 years, you want a new deal, but Jesus ain't going to put up with that. Oh, my Savior's not like that. I don't care how bad the storm is. The only thing you got to do is do what the disciples did, except without the complaint. And there arose a great storm and the wind, and the wind came up and it was blowing and waves was beating to the boat. The boat was full. The boys were saying, oh, what we going to do? Well, you know there's Jesus back there in the stern. And the man is back there asleep. So what we ought to do, you know, 12 hands throwing water out. It'll be a lot better if we had 13 sets of hands throwing water out. See, that's what their view is. Can't hear you. And a lot of you in here, I don't want you to run to Jesus for the wrong reason. Jesus don't want to come along beside you and help you live the life you want to live. He don't want to put a hand in into your plans. Jesus not interested in you trying to make him your candy machine. You put the right prayer in and out come the right gift. Jesus says, I did not come down here to take your side. I came down here to take over. And when you give him your life, I want you to know what you're doing. And I don't want you to do it unless you know what you're doing. Because he's going to demand it all. That's why we call him Lord and Savior. Some of you just want a Savior. He don't come in just as Savior. He come in as Lord of Lords and King of Kings and any type of majesty that you can ever dream of. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to have a heart attack up here one day. Because you Eastsiders don't get excited. We're talking about Jesus. And he's in the back of the boat sleeping. They went back and said, don't you care? Well, how do you think they said it? You think they went back there with that Eastside attitude? Father, we like to ask for your excuse. Could we lay a systematic theology out for you here? A, we're going to die. Don't you care? Come on, folks. Some of you sitting out here right now who said you tried Jesus don't believe God cares. If you love me, you win the game of that man. God said, I tried to tell you a whole bunch of times, no. But since you said yes, you're going to stay in it. You, God, if you just change her. If you love me, start bailing me out. Can't hear you. Now, you don't have to laugh about it, and you don't have to pretend. I know most of you. And those of you that don't know him at all, what kind of storm you in? What kind of life you having? How difficult is it? Anything with Jesus is just anything. No major thing. Nothing when you're with Jesus. Why Jesus? I don't like settling for second best. How about you? Hey, did they divide time by any other prophet? We're talking about world time. We're talking about B.C. Before who? Before Christ. There used to be time. And then you know what A.D. means? A lot of people go, oh, that's after death. And you just missed the Jeopardy question. A.D. means Anno Domini, translated Year of Our Lord. I want to ask you, what else are you putting your trust in? that he who is the greatest of all, where time is divided. And time will be divided. Time is going to come when you're going to be divided from him, or you're going to be divided unto him. You're going to be at the Winnie roast, or you're going to be the Winnie at the roast. It doesn't matter. You're going to be there. And then what he says, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, I'm going to tell you a secret, folks. If those who pretend to know Jesus Christ can fall under the sin of no faith, what do I think about you who's never accepted Christ? I just love what the disciples did, and I'm going to ask you to do the same today. In the middle of the struggle of trying to survive in life, they just stopped. Did you see that? They was frantic in the boat. And all of a sudden, they said, you know, Jesus is in the back. And they just stopped what they was doing and turned around and went and woke him up. They went with the wrong attitude, but at least they went. And when they got there with the wrong attitude, he corrected their attitude. And I'm going to show you what God can do. This is the smoking part about God. When God spoke to the storm, it says the storm stopped. I can't hear you. And then it says a word that we don't really recognize. It says, and calm. Now check this out. Check this out. Just so you know, it was nothing but Jesus Christ that did this. If you got a storm going on, and that's wind, and there's a tempest. That's what you said over here on the east side. You know, I looked that up. And there's a tempest going, and the waves are coming, and it's big enough to get over in a big boat, and it's filling that big boat up, and Jesus stands up and says, peace, be still. And it says the wind stopped. But immediately, what happens usually in a storm when the wind quits blowing? What happens to the waves for a while? They keep going for a while because the water is disturbed. That's why, you know, I thought, I don't like no storm out there, Jack. I don't even get in the bathtub. I shower. He says, peace, be still. It says the storm stopped, and immediately all the waves that was beating go. That's what Jesus wants to do with your heart. That's what he wants to do with your heart. That's what he wants to do with your life. That's what he wants to do with your situation. You know, do we have anyone here today that needs that kind of calm in the heart? They want to stop the waves from crashing. Do we have anyone here today who want to give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and stop the storm that's going in your life? Even Christians, even you that are believers, you need to stop. Come on, just stop. Quit. Just quit your struggles with the Lord. And give him your storm. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to have the brothers come back up. And after we get through with this song and give you the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ, we want to bless them with an offering. But I think I can speak for the guys. There's no greater blessing you can give them than for one of you today, to just stop. Just Stop. Quit fighting. And turn it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you hear me? Just stop. Don't fight him anymore. He wants to calm your heart. He wants to bring the peace. He wants to show you what it is. What it is to know him. No greater thing in all the world than to know him. Oh, my heart cries out for you. Will you join me and just stop? Just quit fighting. And just give him all of you. He's good for it. He's good for it. Oh, he's good for it. He'll bring you through. Oh, my God will bring you through. Let's pray. Father, I pray for the pride of many that are here today. That they'll just stop and say, Jesus, here I am. Oh, I'm tired of fighting what the world has to say. I'm tired of beating my head against my mate. I just want to stop and let you love me for a while. Oh, I believe you're Jesus. I believe you're God. I believe you live without sin, because you say, I got to believe these things. I ask you to come into my life right now. I ask you to forgive me. I want to stop fighting you. And I want to start this day living for you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me a new start. Because today I stopped. I've stopped fighting against you. Join forces with you. Thank you for making me your son. Thank you for making me your daughter. Thank you for making me right before you. Because I believe all these things that you died on the cross. I believe you died on the cross for me. You was buried in the ground. I believe 3 days later you rose again. I believe you're hearing my prayer. Because I want to stop fighting against you. And I want to start walking with you. In Jesus' most precious and saving name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, stand up. Let's pray together. Come on down. Come on down with me.